When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.
Erin Washington, also known as Squats and Margaritas, talks about her struggles with disordered eating and her shame around it.
I didn't talk to anyone about it.
She breaks down how she learned to live a healthier, balanced life, and her passion around this led her to blogging and podcasting, which completely changed her life and her household dynamic. Because she always intended to be a stay-at-home mom, but felt pulled to do more.
If you're feeling kind of like there's something else, a little bit unfulfilled, there is something else. I'm telling you, there's something else. You don't need to know what it is yet.
Then leadership coach Leo Weissman-Fink has tips for entrepreneurs on how to figure out your path, find your tribe, and find clients.
You have the ability to make the kind of money you want. So like the money is out there.
Leave your lanyard and swipe card at the door. Welcome to Mom's Exit Interview, a podcast for moms seeking fulfillment and contentment outside the traditional 9-to-5. Whether you're considering taking the leap or you're already mid-air, this podcast is for you. You'll meet moms who are consultants, entrepreneurs, stay-at-home moms with side hustles, and part-time workers across various industries and levels. Plus, every episode will have experts with tips so you can turn your inspiration into action. I'm Kim Rittberg. I was a Netflix executive and former head of video at Us Weekly. And I'm a mom of two. I quit the corporate world and I've never looked back, but I'm still on this journey, so join me. We don't need a boss to give us permission or a promotion to lead the lives we want. Thank you so much for all your notes and feedback. Please keep them coming. This is not like work where someone says feedback and you totally clench. I love hearing your topic ideas and your questions. And please don't forget to follow the show and leave a review and a 5-star rating. It helps more people find the show. And we have a newsletter. Please sign up. That's in the show notes. My nubby little fingers, I am a nail biter. My little hands type up tips and takeaways from the show every single week. That's linked down in the show notes. And lastly, if you like this podcast, you probably think I'm a decent producer. Well, in my day job, I help companies and professionals be better on camera and make awesome content to help grow their business. I have a newsletter with that, with easy tips, so you could check out my site, kimrittberg.com, or you can sign up for the newsletter in the show notes. And I forgot to brag, I have even won an award for my content. Thank you so much. On this episode, we talked to Erin Washington, also known as Squats and Margaritas. Erin was a serious athlete. She played soccer in high school and in college, and for over 20 years struggled with eating disorders, but she didn't tell anyone. Erin shares her struggles with eating disorders, perfectionism, and depression, and how she's come through. So many of us have unhealthy relationships to food, and we talk about the search for having a healthy balance and a good relationship to both food and exercise. Erin's all about living life with balance, thus squats and margaritas. Squats are those leg exercises, and margaritas, well, you know what margaritas are. I'm more of a classic margarita person myself. Erin is now a lifestyle blogger and hosts the podcast Squats and Margaritas and wrote the book Squats and Margaritas, A Journey to Finding Balance. She talks about fitness, cocktails, and parenting. In our chat, she talks about how she intended to be a stay-at-home mom, but her passion led her to a new path and how that's been a challenge in her marriage because she and her husband both expected her to be home handling the children and the house and all of that stuff. And now she does all that in addition to the other things. Plus, we also talk about delegating. I personally have been trying to delegate more. I recently took an actual vacation. I was so proud of myself for truly logging off, and I'm trying to take more off my plate. Otherwise, I know I'm spending so much time on administrative stuff that I can't get to what I love and what I'm actually good at, which is helping clients make awesome content. When I worked at a company and I was leading a larger team, it was easier to delegate because there were people assigned and they were good at their jobs. And those were jobs I actually couldn't even do. So I know a lot of small business owners struggle with delegating. You have to train people and then you have to invest in other people, even though you're not sure you're going to make that back financially. But the other end, you can't even scale or grow your business without bringing on people to help you. So I'd love to know, do you struggle with this? Send me a message to let you know. One thing I keep hearing back in my mind, designer Rebecca Minkoff was on the show, and she said, anything that isn't the highest and best use of your time, you shouldn't do. So I love that piece of advice. Make sure to check out that episode. And now, without further ado, let's hear from Erin Washington. I asked Erin to tell me a little bit more about her life growing up.
I grew up in Ohio, and I was the oldest of four girls, and all four of us ended up playing Division I soccer in college. But none of my younger sisters were like as obsessed with it as I was. I am obsessive and everything had to be perfect. And I think like growing up, it looked like it was a positive thing. It's like, oh, Erin's so driven. That's so great. But then it can kind of take a left into something dangerous. And for me, I put everything into soccer and ended up not seeing a lot of playing time in college. And I kind of quit on a whim and I was like, well, this isn't fair. I'm going to quit. And when I lost that identity that I had thrown everything into, I fell into depression. I struggled with multiple eating disorders. And again, that perfectionism, like I had to be thin. I was homecoming queen. I was prom queen. I felt like I had to uphold that. And like, I didn't want anybody to know really what was going on the inside and everything I was struggling with.
After quitting the soccer team in college, Erin struggled profoundly with her mental health.
I mean, 10 years, I struggled with anorexia, bulimia, depression, and I didn't talk to anyone about it and definitely was going to my grave with it.
And so did the eating disorders, did they start in high school? Did they start in college?
It started in high school. Again, for me, like soccer was everything. And for me, thin meant like fit and good for soccer. So it was like the thinner, the better, the faster I could run. At 15, my body started changing and I gained weight. And like, that was not going to work for soccer. I was like, oh, absolutely not. So I drastically reduced my calories. I remember there was a point where I wouldn't eat carrots because they were a starchy carbohydrate. I would only eat green vegetables. I would come home from school and make myself take a nap because it was like time that I wasn't eating.
As her eating disorder progressed, Erin found herself dealing with a form of exercise bulimia, something she says is far more common than people realize.
If you are working out to undo calories, which is what I used to do, that's an eating disorder. Like you can work out to feel good. And I know some people that do that. But for most of my life, I worked out to undo the food that I ate. And that's actually like a very unhealthy way to look at it. It doesn't work. It's not a calories in versus calories out equation, which is super frustrating because I feel like that's what women are taught.
That's what we've all been taught. Like you're saying this, I'm like, but I'm so confused. That one nutritionist and all of these weight loss companies, like they say, here are the points for this amount of food. And here's how many, you know, you're burning 300 calories in 1 hour doing biking. So that's equal to that small piece of cake. Like that's literally how I see the world. So you're saying that's completely wrong.
You're seeing the world that way because that's what women are taught. And it's not fair because that's how I try to cancel out everything I ate. When you are not eating enough to fuel your body thinks it's starving and it holds on to everything.
After 10 years of struggling, Erin was finally able to overcome her disordered eating habits. I asked her what it was that finally brought her out of it.
Well, I got to the point where I wasn't, so it's like an eating disorder. I clearly, when I was writing down my calories and working them off, when I was throwing up my food, diagnosed like those are eating disorders. But when I wasn't doing those things anymore, I was still living with like everything had to be there. Have you heard of orthorexia? It's like you're obsessed with like nutrition, like ingredients, the nutrition facts, and everything has to be clean. I wasn't throwing up my food, but for, I don't know, maybe 10 years after I stopped doing that, it was like cardio every single day. Only eat salads. I don't do snacks. Like it was all about calories at the end of the day. Like how many did I hit? And I was obsessed about that. So it wasn't a diagnosed eating disorder, but I was doing that for another 10 years. And there was a come to Jesus moment when I was doing that I stopped and began living the lifestyle that I do now. A trainer at my gym was like, you're so frustrated. Like, you know, what is the problem? And I was like, yeah, I work out 7 days a week. I barely eat and I never lose weight. He's like, yeah. He's like, cause your body is starving. You need to eat more. And I'm like, okay. Like you're telling me who's been throwing up my food and wouldn't eat carrots. I need to eat more to lose weight. And he was like, you need to trust me. He's like, your body is starving. You need to reset your metabolism. It's called reverse dieting. And at that point, I was like, what else do I have to lose? So that moment where I was like, okay, I started eating a ton more, like every couple hours, I turned on my metabolism and I finally started to lose weight. So that was the moment. I don't have like a moment that I stopped like abusing my body, but that was a moment when I stopped the overexercise, the restriction, because it doesn't work. And I had to write a book to the woman who was still on the treadmill for an hour, 7 days a week, which was me, couldn't pay me to take a day off, only eat salads, and whose body is starving because she's under fueling it and overexercising. There is a different way, and it's eating more, it's putting muscle on your body. And I have to share it with the woman who was me 10 years ago, 20 years ago. I used to eat, and I'm putting in quotations, cookies that were like high protein, low sugar cookies.
Those cookies that are like a rock, but they're made of almond butter. Correct. And cocoa, and but mostly, yes, like almond flour, whatever. Not a cookie.
If fish tacos is on the menu, I am getting it. And I'm getting it exactly how it's prepared. Avocado, cheese, sour cream. They give you three or four. I will eat one, take that second and check in. I'm never satisfied at one. So I'll eat another one. Check in again. I'm fine. I'm satisfied. So I'll take two home. What I would do before was I'd be like, fish tacos, but no sour cream, no cheese, guacamole on the side. I would eat all four because it was low fat. I didn't enjoy it. My brain is like, what the hell is this? It's like fish in a tortilla. But I was like, oh no, this is better. It's low carb. When your brain gets what you want, which is a fish taco exactly as it's prepared, you can eat one and feel satisfied. You're not deprived. You got the fish taco. You didn't overeat. You ordered what you want on the menu. So you're not like feeling deprived and like you're going to quit on this healthy lifestyle. This balance just works. It's like, have your daily indulgences. Don't eat a ton of it. Just use moderation. If I want pizza, I get pizza, but I'll have like a piece.
I like the fish taco. Makes me laugh because it's like your brain is like, I don't want steamed white fish.
I know.
And some shredded lettuce and a wrap. Professionally, Erin had done some work in broadcasting and sales in hospitality, but she always knew she wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. As Erin had her epiphany and growth about how to live a healthy life, she started blogging as Squats and Margaritas. And during the COVID lockdown, she started hosting some Instagram lives focused on parenting, which eventually she turned into a podcast, which focuses on parenting, fitness, and more.
So it started out as the parenting advice, and then it became like episodes like I have now. I manifested a show just by being myself and being exactly like it. It wasn't an audition. Like I said, like I did what I wanted to do with no expectation of it going anywhere. And I put it out there. So it's like, just whatever you, if you're feeling kind of like there's something else a little bit unfulfilled, I will say it for the other moms that feel like we shouldn't say that. There is something else. I'm telling you, there's something else. You don't need to know what it is yet. Look at your past, anything that you've overcome. Maybe you can teach something. It doesn't even have to be like my dark stuff that I came through. Maybe you know how to sew. Put it out there and then watch like what sticks. So people are like, oh my God, I never knew how to do that. Now you're teaching like a little Zoom class and you found like value in something that you're providing to somewhere else.
If someone says, what do you do? Are you a stay-at-home mom with a side hustle? Are you a podcaster? Like, how would you answer that question?
I'm embarrassed. I'd say I host Squats and Margaritas. Like, I guess a mom should come first. What I do.
There's no right or wrong answer.
It's my passion. Like, I have an Instagram following, and like, anything I do on Instagram is to obviously attract a following. You want to grow, but to find my show. Like, I put everything into the show. I'm so proud of some of the conversations that I've had with people on the show.
Erin hosts the podcast Squats and Margaritas and her Instagram handle of the same name. It's a fun mix of fitness and parenting because many experts say pick a path or a niche and stick to it. But she's definitely broken that, so I wanted to ask her about it. It's not all parenting tips or whatever, and then it's not all fitness stuff. It's kind of a mix. And I feel like you're really showing like your personality and your sense of humor. Did it take you a while to cultivate that and open it up and crack open like the personality into the feed, or was it always there?
Like, I thought I had to pick a lane. It's like, what are you? Are you parenting advice? Are you fitness? Are you cocktail recipes? But ultimately I was like, the lifestyle of me. Everything is, I'm a mom. I drink margaritas. I work out. It's like anything that I find funny or insightful, I share and hope that the women that follow or the men that follow me will find it funny or insightful. And if it's not, if they're not, which I also am really trying to do better at, then I'm not for them. But
when everyone is on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing and context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
So I feel like everyone wants to know this. So when you're building a brand, how do you make money?
What I have found is I can get sponsors. And they told me when they hired me, like at a podcast, whenever you need sponsors, that's how you make money. And they're like, it's going to take a couple of years. Like you have to like have a following. You have to like be able to show how many downloads. What I started doing is I use my Instagram. I only have an Instagram. Like I obviously have other platforms, but nobody sees me there. Instagram is kind of like my bread and butter. So what I would do is if I found a relevant brand that I wanted to partner with, either as like sponsored content, like I'll make a reel for them or something that I'm really passionate about. If I really like the brand, I'll try to get them to sponsor the podcast. And I would start just tagging them. I would get the product, tag them. I would obviously, they'd see how much I was posting and I would go, I actually like went for them. Like I didn't send them like a pitch sheet. I didn't have, cause I didn't want to write down like how many downloads. I didn't really have a lot then, but I just hustled and I would tag the crap out of that brand and I would make a reel with it when they weren't paying me to until they would see me. And then as soon as they'd like, thanks so much for the support or something, I'd be like, hey, actually I have a podcast. I would love to talk about how we could collab. And I ended up my first year, I had 3 sponsors, 2 tequila companies and like a water. And I make my money now through podcast sponsorships and then just social media. There are so many brands looking to partner with micro influencers. Don't think that you need to have 100,000 followers. I don't have that. And I make a pretty good living off of branded content on Instagram.
And anything you wish you knew earlier? Looking back.
Just that it's okay to be not okay. Like I tried to come off as so having it all together. Like I wouldn't post pictures where it'd be like a mess, like my son looks so cute, but the mess in the background. Nobody's house is perfect. Nobody is dressed perfectly. Like I don't wear makeup anymore strategically. Like I don't want to, this is how I look. Like you don't have to project this like made up persona. Just be you.
Originally you were home with your kids and now you started doing all these projects and you sort of have your own brand. How has that shifted to the dynamic in your marriage?
How much time do you have? So my brand came out of thin air and we're both trying to adjust to our new normal where I have a lot more on my plate that I said I would not have because I was just going to be a stay-at-home mom. And Kim, I truly thought that that is what I wanted, but I felt unfulfilled. I felt like there was something else and I love what I'm doing now and I'm not going to stop doing it, but there's been an adjustment for how much more my husband has to take on for me to do this. And again, there was no planning. It wasn't like eventually you're going to have to take on more because I'm going to have the show. Came out of the blue and we're both adjusting to it. My husband supports me. It's just, I have a lot more on my plate where he has to kind of pick up some more slack.
And for your house, like, does that mean your husband now has to do like more childcare, more food shopping, like a little bit more supportive of that when you're working on the brand?
No, it does not. It means that I just put it all on my plate because I feel validated when I am able to cross off everything on my work notebook, as well as get everything done in the house. And I feel like if I'm going to take this on, I have to not let anything else drop. And so I'm kind of burning myself out, and I know that I need to do better and be more of a, I need to delegate more, but it's very hard for me to ask for help. I have a martyr thing where I can go to bed and be like, well, I had to do everything today, but it's almost like, do I want it another way? Cause then I'll feel like I'm not contributing enough, which is psychotic to say, but this kind of like how I took it on, I still take on my duties around the house, and I don't think I'm going to be able to do that for much longer, but so far that's how I validate myself and feel like I am killing it as an entrepreneur, but still hitting the same level of momming that I was before I took this on.
Well, first of all, I want to
articulate.
Well, thank you for being honest. I feel like a lot of people, when they're in transition, shifting like to full-time work or shifting away from full-time work to being a stay-at-home mom, like there are all these things, like there's the finances, there's the shifting of roles. And so like, why do you feel like you still have to do all the cooking and cleaning, even though you're also have this brand and you're bringing in money from it?
I guess because my husband's a breadwinner and I'm starting to bring in money from it. And maybe it'll feel different when I'm starting to make this a profitable business. But when I, especially when I first started, it was like this extra thing that I almost feel guilty and like feel like, what's the word? It's like indulgent. Like, go take the kids so I can do my show. Like, I get to sit and talk to fabulous women for an hour. Like, I'm not working in the coal mines. Like, my work is a fun thing for me to do. So it's like, I get to do this. That's how I look at it, I guess. I get to do this. So I have to earn that by, if I want to do this, I'm not going to let anything drop anywhere else. And I'm not really contributing financially. So my way of contributing / validating myself and my worth is doing all the things.
You feel like you can't, you don't even have like someone cleaning your house. You don't have
someone clean my house once a month now. It used to be every 2 weeks, but the every 2 weeks wasn't working out because I was like, what they're doing on the second clean, it was like a touch up clean is what I do anyway. And I'm like, I cannot pay someone to just do what you're doing when I do it anyway. So now we are down to once a month. I know it's ridiculous, but I hear myself, Kim, like I didn't need to delegate. But I'm like, maybe another mom feels seen that like you feel like if you're going to take something else on, nothing else can drop. And it's like, if now I used to do the laundry and clean the house and make all the meals, but now I don't do any of those things because I have the show. It's like the show is a negative that's brought into my marriage and my household. Mm. But as long as I'm still doing the other things, it's like, sure, do your show. But it's like, now I do the show. I don't cook anymore. I'm going to need you to watch the kids. I guess I don't want it to be a burden. And I'm kind of just processing this as I'm thinking, like, I think that's what it is. Like, I'm not going to make it, I don't want it to be a burden on my household, on my marriage. My kids aren't seeing me as much. So I try to just be exactly what I was before and take this on, even if that means I have to work after they go to bed, just not let anything drop.
What would you like to delegate out? You know, Rebecca Minkoff came on the show and she was like,
laundry.
Okay.
When taking it out of the dryer, like folding laundry. I just did a reel about this, like folding laundry for four people and just sorting it. It never gets put away. It just stays in the baskets. Like, I don't mind cooking. I don't love loading the dishwasher. Can a six-year-old do that?
Yes.
I don't know what things we should be doing. A six-year-old can unload the dishwasher?
I think, except for the knives, I think. Unless
that's exactly
glass.
What I pictured. I'm like, there's knives in there.
The wine knives glasses. And the glass. Yeah, forget it. The six-year-old can unload four bowls that are plastic from the dishwasher. Is that helpful? Okay. I don't know.
No, because you know where I go in my head. I could do it much faster.
Okay, so is there a point at which you feel like you can delegate the things that you hate? Because Rebecca Minkoff was on the show and she said, okay, because Rebecca Minkoff said, do only what's the best use of your time and the things that you're good at enjoy, and you hate laundry. So can you delegate
laundry? And how is that a good use of my time? Anyone could do the laundry. That's not like, it doesn't have to be done a certain, well, I guess I say that. Maybe then I'll be like, it's not done a certain way.
Do you think your husband would be supportive of you delegating out laundry and some of the cooking?
Honestly, yes. I don't, it doesn't bother him. This is
self-imposed. It's in your head.
It's me not letting anything change. He would not care. As long as it got done, he wouldn't care. Not at all. So this is, yeah, this is a great therapy session. How much do I owe you for the session?
I'll bill you on Venmo.
Making me consider things. I hope this helps somebody else too, because you're right. He doesn't care. Why do I have to do all the things?
I do think we as women, as moms, I feel like we put a lot on ourselves, and I'm the same way. Like, I do feel like I'm supposed to do certain things, and when I can't do certain things, I'm really hard on myself. And
yes,
I think a lot of us are hard on ourselves. Like, I feel like every year one of my resolutions is like, be gentler to yourself, be kinder to yourself.
Grace.
I would never talk to my kids the way I talk to myself.
I know.
Ever. Yeah. Ever. So I think that, you know, it's important to like give yourself grace. You're doing a lot. And also like you should delegate out some of those things. I always like to say, I always made sure to hire a cleaning person, even when I had $30 or $50 every other week when I had no money. Living in New York, sharing an apartment with three people. My bed hit three walls. I earned no money. That was the thing that my splurge. I hate cleaning. I'm not good at it. I don't want to clean toilets. Everything else I'll do.
The thing is, like, I can afford it. That's how ridiculous this is. I can afford it, but then I won't feel like I'm contributing. I need to be in a mental institution.
No.
Ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Okay. So my mom's in our house and she comes to me. She'll say, this has happened many times. My mom is in our house. She'll come to me and she'll say, oh, I swept the floors. I mopped the bathroom floors. And I put away those five things. I'm like, okay. And then she'll say it again, like a week later, oh, like I dusted that thing and I swept that floor. And I'm like, okay. And then I'm like,
she wants to thank you.
And then I'm like, mom, I don't mean this rudely, but like, do you want me to thank you? Because I can make a list of all the things I did today and it will make your head spin. I'm like, I bought the groceries. I unpacked the groceries. I got the kids ready. I brushed their teeth. I drove them to camp. I came back from camp. I did all this work. I made these three calls.
Dentist appointments. I love you.
Yeah. I'm like, I love you. And thank you for participating in our house, but you're also staying in our house.
Yes.
You're our guest. So I appreciate that you're participating as a really, really good guest, but also I'm not going to say thank you.
It's relative.
Because no one thanks me. I want to clarify to say my mom is a total saint. And she and I actually have an inside joke about this. She lives with us for like 5 months of COVID. So she knows we're talking about this and she's in on the joke. And I love you, mom. You are the best. And I always say to someone when they're like going to do something for me, I'm like, here's what I want you to do for me. And I also don't want any follow-up questions.
Oh, I like
that. And I say it in a nice way. I try to not sound it so mean. It sounds so mean, but I'm like, it's not a favor to me if I have you do something and then I get like four text messages with questions in a FaceTime video.
Not helping.
Just do it. And I truly don't care.
I don't care
if the dress is red or blue. I don't care if the food is peanut butter and jelly or turkey. I don't care where you go. And I don't care what you do. Bring my kids back alive and happy.
Yeah. We're good.
Oh my goodness, I'm interrupting again to say I'm not a total monster. I don't tell people, please do this thing with my children and don't ask me any questions. But I do admit to feeling a little frustrated sometimes because I do think us moms are the CEO and COO of the household on top of being a parent. And if we work on top of working, but one thing I have gotten better at doing is when the grandparents come over and take our kids, I am clearer in saying, take the kids, do any activity you want with them. Give them any lunch you want, except for tree nuts, which my daughter's allergic to. But I try to be clearer in that I'm not going to micromanage the day. I really, truly don't care. As long as the kids are having fun and they're alive at 8 o'clock, yay. Erin, this was an amazing therapy session. Thank you for participating in Dr. Ritberg's therapy sessions, Mom's Exit Interview therapy sessions.
Please, can I pay with a card online? Send me a link.
For more on Erin, check out Squats and Margaritas. You'll find her podcast and her book there and so much more. That is all linked out in the show notes.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. No matter what you do or what industry you're in, how you communicate is key. Everything you type is equally important to collaboration, and Grammarly can help. Think of it as your AI writing partner, empowering you to communicate effectively and efficiently so you can make a bigger impact in the workplace. 96% of Grammarly users say it helps them craft more impactful writing. And as the gold standard of responsible AI, Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. By understanding your writing in context, Grammarly provides relevant, personalized suggestions. And with tone suggestions, you can navigate even the most difficult work conversations. You can also save time from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds with one click. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
And now we have leadership coach Leah Weissman-Fink with tips for entrepreneurs on how to figure out what you're doing, find clients, and figure out what to charge. Leah herself is an exiter. She worked in education, training principals, and was an assistant principal until she was sort of pushed out of her job on maternity leave. She and her husband, Johnny, also run a chain of pizzerias in New York City called Williamsburg Pizza. And Leah is a leadership coach who helps entrepreneurs. So here are some tips. So Leah, you're a leadership coach and you work with a lot of entrepreneurs. What are your top three tips for entrepreneurs?
I really like how you frame that question. I think the top three tips are one, just deciding. So just deciding what you're going to do, or like even what your next step is, deciding. Two, I think, is the resilience. So just being able to stomach the waves of entrepreneurship, as in like things are going terribly and you don't know what you're going to do, and understanding that there's an up around the corner. And even like you're at the top of the wave and you know, like you might have like the not the best month the next month or a couple of months, but understanding that it's going to go back up. And then third, I think, is finding your people. So I think that's finding like your either your business bestie or your classes, coaching programs, teachers, mentors that really can like help guide you along the way.
I love especially that last tip, because before every job interview, I would call my brother and my mom, and I call them my pump up crew, and they would make me feel really good about myself. So I'd go into an interview like full of confidence and excitement. But when you branch on your own, I 100% agree with that, because I felt very isolated at first. But then I found a few people who were doing it, who were in that headspace and in that mind space. I think it's really hard to talk to your friends who are climbing the corporate ladder about these things you're doing, because it's not the same. And it's like, it's, I don't want to say it's irrelevant, but it's just not the same as what they're going through. And it becomes a little harder to have that eye to eye. So I love your idea of finding the crew. Leah, in your coaching, what are the things that you see people are stuck by? You know, they can't move forward because there's like this obstacle in their path.
Yeah. Okay. So some of the things that I hear a lot that are blocking people, first, this might seem obvious, but just fear of the unknown, right? So you've been in, and I was in like 9 to 5s for the first like 15 years of my career. So just like jumping out of that is scary. You don't know exactly what's on the other side. I think a second thing is what we talked about, like that 40-hour like idea that you must have your butt in a seat for 40 hours to be able to be doing the same quality of work or making the same money that you can in way less time. And then I think third, lots and lots of money mindset stuff. So I think, and here's where I get like a little bit woo-woo, but I'm just going to do it, is like, just like understanding that the money is out there, the abundance mindset, the like finding your right matches from what you charge to clients. And it is a process. It's a learning curve. I think, especially as entrepreneurs, when you stop getting that like weekly paycheck, you really have to work on that and improving it.
Why is that a new age, like woo-woo type of mentality? I mean, isn't that a traditional business thing that, you know, your perfect target client is out there and you just have to find them or be where they are? And if you think they're not, adjust what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? What makes that sort of, oh, that sort of
just language, honestly. Like, I think it's like charging what you're worth, finding your ideal client versus like abundance mindset or money mindset. The truth is it's all the same stuff. Right? It's the same stuff I learned in leadership school. It's the same stuff I learned running schools. It's all the same stuff, but it's just like, you know, what language you're using, who are you talking to, and what clicks for a certain person. So you can hear something, you can hear the same thing in 10 different ways, and it didn't click the first 9 and it clicked on the 10th.
Yeah. I think also sometimes we could be horses with blinders on. So we've met 4 people in the past year and they felt our prices were too high. So no one's going to pay that price. It's like, no, if you're getting 10 no's and 3 yeses, that's a great ratio. Anyone will tell you that's a great ratio. But so I think it's important, right? Like don't lower your price, find the right person. So don't charge less. Like if you have a client who really wants to work with you, but they can't pay your fee, just is what it is.
Yeah. Come back if you decide that that's right for you. Or come to my group program, that happens too. Or I have one client who came to me and she was like, I'm like, just like need to work with you. And my fee was too high for her. And we worked for half the amount of time. So it was like not a lower fee. It was just like, we were kind of like, let's do more in less time.
I know that in some of the coaching you do, you talk about money. And talk to me a little more about what should people know about how to talk about money, how to price, how to adjust your mindset so that you're, I mean, making the money you want.
Absolutely. You have the ability to make the kind of money you want. So like the money is out there. The clients are out there. What we just said, like there is a client and a coach at every price point. And then I think another thing is talking about money, right? Money's not like an ugly, dirty topic. It's like, ask your friends what they charge, tell what you charge, troubleshoot, you know, the matching your pricing with the right clients and the work that you do. So I think it's like taking the sheet off, right? And taking like the cloud of shame and just like putting it all on the table. I think that that's a really helpful like starting place.
I like that there has been a new conversation around money. I don't know how much louder it's gotten, but I remember several years ago, there was sort of this bigger conversation about transparency at work and people being like, why is this person who sits next to me, does the same job as me, earning $20,000 more than me? That's grossly unfair and possibly discriminatory, but who knows? But I think that that conversation has just helped remind us their money is power and knowledge is power. So like ask people what they're charging. And, you know, Leah and I, we met for coffee and I just asked her, I was like, oh, what do you charge for your programs? And I asked another friend and another person that I had a networking meeting with. And what's the worst they say? Like, it's none of your business, or, you know, I'll tell you if you do a discovery call with me. But most people really are open about the prices. Like most people will tell you. And I think it really does help you realize what cohort you're in. Like, some people make money by charging thousands of people $100. Other people make money by having smaller clients, but charging tens of thousands of dollars. And it just depends where you are. What do you recommend to be in that right pool to find those right clients to hire you?
That's a good question. I think it's about one, putting yourself out there again and again and again, right? I think just like whether it is in person, on the internet, over emails, via interviews or podcasts or whatever, like the more that you can be out there, the more people who can find you. And then I think secondly, and maybe this part should go first, is just you have to really, really believe that you have to really, really believe in your skill and your talents and that the right people are out there, right? And that they will find you. And then it's the second part of like continuing to put yourself out there and like letting them find you, giving them ways to work with you, right? And also like in, like I said, it was always one-on-one work and now I'm doing a group, right? And soon I'm going to do a retreat. So there's going to be like more ways to work with me. And maybe at some point there will be like just like an evergreen lower ticket program. I don't know. But then like people have way more options.
Right. I think that's smart, right? You can, some people say, oh, the riches are in the niches and that's fine. Or you do one offering, but for some people it works to have one main offering and two secondary ones. For others, it's like only one. For others, it's five, like whatever works for you. Leah, this was so helpful. I'm really excited that people are going to get a lot of value out of this show.
Thank you for asking me to do it.
To connect with Leah, check out her site, leahweismanfink.com, which will be linked out in the show notes. This real mom moment comes from Emily A. Hay. She founded Hey There Social Media, which teaches moms a transferable skill set to become a social media manager. Emily and her husband were in the Fair Play documentary. How cool is that? It's based off of Eve Rodsky's best-selling book, and here's what she had to say about it.
I'm Emily A. Hay, and professionally, I'm the founder of Hey There Social Media. We teach a proven training program that gives moms a transferable skill set as a freelance social media manager in just 6 weeks. Personally, my husband and I shared our journey in the Fair Play documentary based off Eve Rodsky's New York Times bestselling book. Like so many women, I felt I was literally doing everything in my home. But through the process of filming, I learned not to be proud of doing it all. Doing it all is not sustainable and everyone loses in the process. I was burning out not enjoying all the things on my plate, and I was physically stressed all the time. I was shortchanging my husband, who is very capable of caregiving duties, believe it or not. And I was modeling unhealthy behavior for my two daughters. I was showing them through my actions that they too have to do it all. And it stopped me in my tracks. As a champion for work-life integration, I teach women work systems that allow them to specialize and thrive professionally. Now I'm grateful for this new perspective to not be proud of doing it all, because it gets in the way of my husband and I striving for a more fair home.
Thank you so much for listening. We want to hear from you. Tell us what topics you want us to cover and what questions you have for upcoming shows and experts. We will read everyone and we will use them. You can find us everywhere. Go to momsexitinterview.com, scroll down to find the contact button, or you can DM me on Instagram at Kim Ritberg, or you can leave your feedback right inside your review in the podcast app. Please follow the show in Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen and leave a review and a 5-star rating. And don't forget to share it with people who will find it valuable. It's truly meant to be a resource. And this is Mom's Exit Interview. I'm your host and executive producer, Kim Ritberg. The show is produced by Henry Street Media. John Hollowitz is our editor, and Aliza Friedlander is our producer and publicist.